We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox post-game show presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into Studio B of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. The CHGO White Sox crew is here to recap a White Sox sweep of the Detroit Tigers and a 13-0 victory over the Tigers. The Chicago White Sox improved to 30-31 on the year, and they are now 5 games back of the Minnesota Twins, the first-place Minnesota Twins. They are 2.5 games back of the second-place Cleveland Guardians, and the run differential, I think it started the series around minus 56, and it is ending at minus 13-4-4?
Something like that. I was told there would be no math.
Vinny's the math guy on CHGO.
That's White not Sox. True.
Minus 39.
You did it.
There we go. We did it. And they lowered it. So a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. And as Jesus Shuttlesworth says today, that was huge for Yoan. Steve saying Yoan Day. Before we get into Yoan, let's introduce the panel. To my far left, that's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's the CHGO White Sox beat writer.
And doesn't know how to add.
And neither do I, don't worry. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Ecknerwall23, rocking the CHGO Sky shirt.
But negative numbers adding is always weird, too. It's like counting backwards. It's very weird.
And I never know whether to, like, add or subtract, you know, like to,
yeah, that should tell us something.
Yeah, well,
that we can't do that. That really is. That's kind of obvious.
And here's people are too. Loving Vinny's black T-shirt. Damn straight.
Yeah, because we finally got a shirt on from a band that started after the 1970s. That's why.
Didn't get some love too on the pregame. So yeah, I mean, this has been a well liked shirt
the whole day.
I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. We found out earlier in the pregame that Vinny's more of an El Camino guy rather than a Brothers guy.
I will say this: if you want to, if you want to roll your eyes at me, like that was the question you would have expected. Like, let's be honest, I'm more of a thick freakness, more of a rubber factory guy. Give me the early stuff. That's the best.
Herb's a big turn blue guy.
Ooh, that's upsetting. That's the one I don't like.
I hated that one so much. It was a real bad album. I literally
have never heard this song, this group, either.
You never heard of the Black Keys?
I've heard of them. I've never tuned in and said, oh, that's the Black Keys. I've heard of the Black Crowes.
You've heard their songs.
I mean,
heard their songs.
I have, okay.
You've been watching sports broadcasts for the past 11 years.
Exactly.
You've heard a Black Keys song. Don't worry. We'll talk about the Black Keys after
one of the
show.
Two best bands from Akron, I would say.
Who's the other one?
Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders is from Akron as well.
But she's not a band.
Pretenders.
But the Pretenders, man.
Yeah. I guess. I went back to Ohio. That was that one song.
That is one of their songs.
That's one of their songs. All right. What's up, Juan? He says, sup, Vinny, Herb, and Sean. Great day, huh? Fantastic day. 13-0. The White Sox
blow out the Tigers. It could have been a little bit quicker. We did see three position players pitch for the Tigers today, which was probably unnecessary. We could go for a blowout rule in Major League Baseball, but that's a different discussion. Let's talk about the White Sox blowing out the Tigers. We'll start with the pitching because that should be a quick conversation here. Vince Velasquez was good. Davis Martin was good. Jose Ruiz got out of the ninth inning in 10 pitches. That's about it. That's all you need to know. Let's go to Yoan Moncada because I had a rough day parking. I was late to the CHGO White Sox pregame show. I had to go repark my car, and Herb had to go repark his car. AJ Pollock gets hit by a pitch. Jose Abreu walks. I think Vaughn got on as well.
He got out because he slammed his bat.
Yeah. Oh, right. He slammed his
two
bat.
Two-out walk for Abreu.
Two-out walk for Abreu. Going. And he's the fourth hitter. Here comes the fifth hitter, Yoan Moncada, and we showed the stats to you yesterday, him struggling versus velocity, him struggling in general, and Yoan Moncada hits a three-run homer in the first inning, 105 off the bat, a 31 launch degree angle. Yoan Moncada, we're not sure if he's back, but this was one hell of a game to show that it's still in there for Yoan Moncada, huh, Vinny?
Absolutely. While you guys were dealing with your disastre personals, Yoan Moncada was having himself a big day. And listen, they always say, it only takes one good day, it only takes one good swing sometimes to get things turned around. Seems like it only took one good, week facing the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. But listen, whether this is it for Yoan Moncada or not, this is exactly what he needed. Was a game like today to kind of get off the schneid. We will see, of course, they're going to face a very good Houston Astros team this weekend. We will see if this does it for Yoan and for the offense in general. But what have we been saying? This team is not going to play to the level of its expectation until it gets Yoan Moncada back or till it gets Yasmani Grandal back to where they're supposed to be. You get Yoan Moncada back to where you think he's supposed to be and you score 13 runs, so that's not bad.
Not bad.
The same thing. Like, he needed that for himself. You saw the relief over his face. You saw his teammates mob him in the dugout after he hit that home run. The big smile was back. The fun, the happy was back for Yoan Moncada. And yes, he had two hits off of position players later, but he was doing well the whole day. Fidel, I think, tried to throw a ball outside to him. He just took it where it was pitched. That's old school Yoan Moncada. He took that for a double. That is exactly what we need for this White Sox team to move forward. As much as we have saw the struggles of Yasmani and Yoan, and we're thinking about replacing them with Jake Berger or Rhys McGuire, those guys, Yasmani and Yoan, are vital to this team's success moving forward. And if we get a great Yoan, or if we get a Yoan that just showed up last year, who most people didn't think was great, but was a top five third baseman, man, the sky's the limit for this team.
And we do have a super chat. Nathan Guest dropping a $5 super chat. Hashtag fire TLR, fire Tony, fire La Russa.
All three of them?
Hashtag White Sox, hashtag change the game. He says, just because we set up the bottom of the barrel in the AL Central doesn't mean he gets to keep his job. That is true, but his best friend, being the owner, does help him keep his job.
Picking a tough day to be firing off Tony complaints. This is a pretty good, pretty successful week here for these White Sox.
Second
so far.
Sweep of the year. So, I mean, we're here to celebrate. Rusted drops another super chat, a $5 super chat from Rusted. On behalf of a grateful White Sox Nation and Yoan Moncada, I would like to thank the baseball gods for the Detroit Tigers. Pure meat-eating chaos. It was a bloodbath in Detroit. And our guy Eli Stein over in Israel dropping some new shekels for us. $69.90 from our guy Eli. We appreciate all the support.
That is $20.27.
There we go.
According to the Google machine.
Appreciate it, Eli. But yeah, it's not a day.
You gotta love seeing different currency show up in the chat.
Well, and I'm glad that I can recognize it now because Eli's been very generous with his super chats. Now I correctly identify the symbol for Israeli new shekels.
He's teaching us.
He's a cultured. I'm a cultured man.
We really are. We've got a real global vibe going now.
I couldn't subtract $69.90 from $4.99, but I could at least tell you that it's an Israel new shekel.
There you go.
So there you go.
Baby steps.
Justin Lee saying Yoan was in a shooter slump and he hits his first free throws to get off the schneid. And Zach up there, Pine Tar Keyboard, saying Yoan's issues always seem to be about approach/plate recognition, swing Quinn looks fine. Velocity isn't a problem when he's seeing it well. Hope that good juju is back. A lot of interesting stuff today from Moncada. It wasn't just the fastball he was hitting. It wasn't just, you know, changeups he was hitting. He hit everything in sight, different velocities, much different velocities because some of them were position players. But overall, a great game from Moncada, and the swing looked fantastic on that home run.
And not only did he hit it hard, he was looking at pitches and seeing pitches well. Like, that's the key to his approach. Seeing pitches, not swinging at pitches outside the zone, picking out his pitches to hit and hit hard. As you said, it was like 100 miles per hour off of the bat, almost 400 feet to right center field. That is what he needs. He needs to see that he can be a top player still. And I'm sure that he's been confidence has been down, and seeing every one of his players around him getting hits lately, especially his country mate, Jose Abreu, who was struggling early in the year, probably got into his ear and said, hey, man, you're good. You're fine. And it's good that Tony just like, hey, keep on doing it. Keep on doing your thing. And I'm putting you in the lineup. I'm batting you fifth. I know I batted you seventh or eighth when you're struggling, but no, we believe in you. We know that you're a better player than you have shown so far. And I'm expecting not 5 or 6 days from here on out, but I'm expecting regular Yoan Moncada going out, because off of this, you could have supreme confidence.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk to you about that, Vinny, just because Moncada struggled so much in the first 24 games with his bat, but his defense kept him consistently in the lineup just because Jake Burgers, his bat has been fantastic, but the defense at third base has been struggling. How do you think they try to balance this? Because it feels like, you know, the optimal lineup or the ideal lineup for them has Moncada at third base. You know, obviously, if he continues to hit like this, it's pretty easy to slot him in there. But if you got a guy who's not hitting but plays a good third base, and a guy who is hitting and not playing a good third base, how do you balance Berger and Moncada? How does Tony do that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Moncada was always supposed to be very much a key part of this team, everyday guy. You know, I think we talked about it in the preseason, probably one of the top six hitters on the team, which is, you know, says a lot about how good that lineup was supposed to look. But I don't think Jake Berger was ever going to take Yoan Moncada's job away from him. Yoan Moncada was maybe going to take some playing time away from Yoan Moncada, and that's what we saw, you know, when he was really struggling here over the last few weeks, or, you know, the last couple months, really. So to say Berger was going to completely kick him out of there, that wasn't going to happen. Now, Jake Berger deserves at-bats, you know what I mean? He has been hitting the ball really, really well, and he deserves at-bats. But if Yoan Moncada is hitting the ball well, Yoan Moncada is the everyday third baseman. There is no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And Yoan Moncada can do so much for this team, is supposed to do so much for this team. He's not going anywhere. And if this is the turnaround, then really that's going to be the case. Obviously, if he continues to struggle, you might see him get a few more days off than you would expect. Obviously, we've talked all along about how his health is kind of constantly an issue with nagging injuries and whatnot. But the defense he plays is fantastic over at third base. If the offense is there to match, He's the guy every single day.
And after a game like this, it'd be tough to bench him, especially with a day off tomorrow. It feels like Friday will be Yoan Moncada starting at third base, probably batting fifth. And I don't see a reason to change the top four, because AJ Pollock goes 2-for-4 today. Andrew Vaughn goes 3-for-6. Luis Robert goes 1-for-4. Jose Abreu, you know, just casually 4-for-5 today. And Yoan Moncada going 5-for-6. Just a domination from the top five for the White Sox. And even Sebi Zavala got in on the action. And Matt Zawoski called it. $5 super chat from our guy, Matt Zawoski. Zoe in the pregame, right before we left, called a Sebi Zavala home run.
Incredible.
He put 25.
Take it to the bank.
Yeah, he put 25 bucks on it. He won a big payout there. So shout out to Zoe for calling the Sebi home run. And he almost had two.
Austin Meadows came a foot away,
robbed him of another one. And it felt like it was either, you know, Meadows jumped up at the wall and he missed it and just casually came down, or he, you know, casually robbed the home run, for Austin Meadows. So that was, you know, Sebi got robbed of another multi home run game. But appreciate you guys, with the super chat so far, and, nine hits, for a hit for all nine players, in the game today, all the starters: Pollock with a hit, Vaughn with a hit, Robert with a hit, Abreu, Moncada, Engel, Harrison, Zavala, Mendick, all have a hit. First time this year where the lineup gets nine hits. So it wasn't just Moncada. It wasn't just Abreu. It was a team effort today. You could probably even, you don't even have to count Leury Garcia's two at-bats because they were pretty ugly. But Herb, what does this mean when you see 22 hits from this White Sox offense and 13 runs?
it's good to see. They need that type of laugher. This is the first time we've had a laugher for them for a long time. I remember we got up to six runs versus Tampa. And we're like, all right, here we go. We're going to smash the Rays on this Sunday. Nope. 6-5 game. The last time we scored in double digits, the only time we scored double digits, versus this Detroit Tigers team on the third game of a series, just like this happened to be. It's awesome to see for those players and also for guys like Engel, who was struggling, didn't get off the snide until late. You see all the relief on his face. It's like, oh, my teammates are getting these hits. I need something. And Austin Meadows almost made a spectacular catch on that, but he let it pass him. So, yeah, it's good for everybody's morale to see, hey, we can, when we put our heads to it, and this is a good pitcher coming into the game. Mm-hmm. Sub-3 ERA and raised it up to like 4.5 by the time he ended the game. So they know Fiedel has been doing well versus other teams. So it was going to be a tough game. He has a slider that we're accustomed to striking out against. Not today. The White Sox attacked him and attacked him early and made him leave early in this game and put some runs up on the board.
5 strikeouts for Fido, but 3 innings pitched, 9 hits, 7 earned runs. And you mentioned his ERA before the game, 2.98, leaving the game 4.28. Everyone clicked. Here's the pitching, the starting lines. Alex Fiedel goes 3 innings pitched, 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Vince Velasquez goes 2 2/3, no earned runs, 1 hit, no walks, 3 Ks. Pretty surprising at a point where we saw Velasquez getting taken out, but we don't need to get into that right now. I do think that there's some interesting conversations to be had, because AJ Pollock's been great in left field and he's played the most innings in left field. Does he stay there once Eloy Jimenez comes back? Adam Engel has struggled a little bit with the bat. He's hitting 226, and there's about to be a roster crunch with TA coming back, Eloy coming back. Does Engel have a secured spot on this roster? And Josh Harrison, he was struggling coming into today, but we can look at these the stats that Steven put together. Josh Harrison has a 3-for-5 day today. He raises his batting average from 181 to 198. He's about to get off the interstate. Yoan Moncada raised his batting average from 141 to 181. And I think I saw a comment there that said he raised his OPS by 105 as well. And Abreu raised his batting average from 262 to 272. And Abreu was already hot coming into this game. So just truly electric stuff. But looking at second base, looking at Danny Mendick's production as well.
He homered today.
He homered today as well. A lot of issues because, the White Sox didn't have a lot of hitting, and now it feels like they have a ton of hitting. And it's like, all right, well, who's going to come off this roster once TA and Eloy join this team? So we could play this game a little bit. I mean, has Harrison proved himself enough to stay on this roster? And has Mendick done enough to kind of earn that spot? I'll go to you first, Herb. I mean, if you have to look at second base right now, Lurie, Harrison, and Mendick, if you can only keep two of the three, what are you looking at?
I mean, Lurie's going to stay. He's signed for a 3-year deal. Out of the two, since Mendick has options and he can be sent back down, are you asking for what Herb would do or what the White Sox are going to do?
Well, I don't want to ask you what Herb will do.
Okay.
And then I'll ask Vinny what the White Sox
will do. Herb will keep Danny Mendick because this is a meritocracy where Herb lives. I love talking about myself in the third person. What a fucking megalomaniac. What a jerk.
Sunglasses inside and everything. You are coming off bad today.
Yeah, Danny Mendick stays for me, and I DFA Josh Harrison. Josh does one thing very well, or average. He plays defense. He'll give you a good second base. You never have to worry about him playing second base. But the bat is not consistent. He cannot hit this year. I mean, last year he hit a little bit better and was one of the best second basemen out there for free agency to be picked up. But he's not doing the job this year. So Danny Mendick does not deserve to be DFA'd. Does deserve to be on this roster and does deserve a couple starts at second base, him and Lurie sharing those. So that's what I would do if I was the White Sox.
And what do we think the White Sox could do, Vinny?
Okay. I would say that time is on their side when it comes to making that long-term or short-term, because it's only a one-year deal, but the decision on Harrison. We have seen them not be shy to make a big move like that, as they did with Dallas Keuchel, but there had to be depth there, right? And Mendick is that depth for the White Sox, but they have the option to send Mendick to AAA, and everybody stays put where they are. You're not ruffling any feathers in the clubhouse by just sending a young guy down and being able to bring him back up later. I think we saw it last year with Gavin Sheets when there was a little bit of a crunch. Gavin Sheets was playing well, deserved to stay, but you send him down and nothing changes in that clubhouse, right? you could say that something might change if you take a well-liked veteran guy and kick him off the team for, you know, in the middle of a little bit of a hot streak for him. If you take the entire season, you ask me who deserves to be the second baseman going forward, based on the numbers, Danny Mendick has hit a lot better. Right. Smaller sample size, but still. Yeah, if this were a video game, I'd be plugging Danny Mendick in there as soon as TA comes back. But these are real. This is a real life situation with real life people, with real life personalities and stuff you got to weigh. I wouldn't be surprised if they hang on to Harrison a little bit longer, see what the trade deadline brings, and maybe if it gets to later in the season and he still hasn't picked it up, then you go ahead and go make the more serious move.
I think the other day you were saying that the Ozzy Albies got hurt a little bit in mm-hmm. Atlanta. Might be a good spot for Josh Harrison to land as a guy that can do something in his stead. And when he comes back, he can also be a nice, valuable bench player. But, you know, I would, if it was my choice, yes, Josh Harrison would definitely be off the team when it had the roster crunch of 13-13 and you need to make some decisions.
Just looking at the way the Sox have operated, especially, I know people are upset about, you know, Luis Gonzalez doing well out in San Francisco. He was a guy that it was a sort of a roster crunch. They could have added him to the IL, but then he would have gained major league service time. So they ended up trying to push him through waivers. He ends up going through, like, passing through 28 teams, and then the Giants are the 29th out of 30 teams, and they end up picking him up, and now Luis Gonzalez has, you know, a 127 weighted runs created plus out in right field for the Giants. So, like, I think that the idea would be exactly what you're saying is let's make sure we keep as much depth in the organization as possible. And I thought your point about Sheets was great. You know, he gets called down or sent down after hitting 225, 293, 483 with an OPS of 776 in his first 29 games last year, and then comes back up in September and ends up being on the playoff roster and having a great September as well. So, I mean, we could see Mendick step away and then come back, and Mendick was great down in Charlotte. I think in the 9 games he had down there, he had like a 900 OPS. So maybe this Danny Mendick thing's a real thing. I mean, that's the real question in my mind is, can Danny Mendick be doing this, you know, come September? Because we saw even with Gavin Sheets, you know, wheels started coming off a little bit in 2022.
Yeah, and I think what you got to look at also is, you know, we're still several days away from this decision having to be made. The White Sox go in and win a series in Houston. Ooh. All of a sudden, things are looking better. You're not as maybe feeling as pressed or pressured to have to make something happen and start winning games right now because you're running out of time, you know, mathematically. You know, if they go ahead and get swept in Houston, maybe that feeling is a little more there, and maybe you do keep Danny Mendick around because, hey, you got to hold on and grasp to what's working. You know what I mean? You don't have time to sit and wait anymore, or at least you feel that way based on where the standings are. If TA comes back next Monday, you know, then things are looking a little different. But, you know, time is maybe going to be on their side a little bit here when it comes to making that decision. And that's at least my thought of it. But obviously, you know how quickly things can change in baseball. We're talking about an offensive explosion today and, you know, every single player being great. And by the end of the weekend, we could be talking about the right. same things we were talking about after they went to Houston last year.
Did you sneak in Rolling Stones lyrics there?
Not intentionally, but I wouldn't be surprised if I did it subconsciously. Yeah. It's a good song.
Yeah. Doesn't ring a bell.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why?
Which one's that?
It's a New Orleans classic that the Stones cover. Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My bad. That's I mean, on me.
Come on now.
You know, yeah. I got to pick up the slack on my end.
So you're getting on me about the Black Keys and you don't know a Rolling Stones song.
I think we got hey,
ridiculous.
Herb. I think we might need to send Sean down.
Goddamn right.
Sorry, my bad. That band came out 30 years before I was born.
A lot more than 30.
It's, yeah, 68-ish, right?
64.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they're real old.
Yeah, they are.
And still all with us except for my man, the drummer. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Charlie.
R.I.P. Mr. Watts. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, Charlie Watts will not come back from the dead, but you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000.
Too soon.
But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more. I didn't know a segue, so, you know, I just wanted to bring in kind of the conversation, keep it a little bit more natural.
Too soon.
But
Mick's
that's
not
it.
Mick's got COVID now. It's no good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he's feeling fine, but.
I mean, is he? He just said Machine Gun Kelly is the future of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from a CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from a CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. PointsBet's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better, introducing PointsBet's newest feature, the live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay for the only with PointsBet. You can combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and if you want more, you can boost your live same-game parlays. You can watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. Online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life at PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1s because I started this job. So for about the past 2+ months, I've been taking Athletic Greens when I wake up. I start my morning right with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. That is what AG1 is. It's one delicious scoop of all those vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods to help you start your day right. I feel more focused. I have more energy. I've been more healthier. I've been getting sick less, so it's helping my immune system. It is a great way to get what you need and to start your day off right. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No needs of millions of different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX.
And Sean, it's weird. Like, there's a reporter, Cody Stevenhagen from Detroit, says the Tigers clubhouse is still closed postgame. This is abnormal. So they're having a conversation about getting swept by the White Sox. Tough.
Yeah, I mean, that
White Sox causing trouble for other teams. Let's keep on doing this.
About 25 minutes of close clubhouse. For people to put that in perspective, I mean, how soon is the White Sox clubhouse open after a game?
5 minutes.
All right. Yeah. So 25 would be abnormal.
Yes.
All right.
Quite.
Tossing things.
Hey, I mean, what would you expect, Detroit? The White Sox are better than you, and it's not like the first series was close.
I mean, 3 position players pitching in one game.
That's true. I mean, is that what maybe it's about? Like, AJ Hinch, come on, give us more of a chance to be in that game, or?
I mean, yeah, that's an embarrassing defeat.
Yeah,
13-0. I mean, you know,
it's not 30-3.
Well, but the Tigers have been doing this kind of thing all year too. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we're seeing 3 days of it. AJ Hinch has had to watch two and a half months of it,
and I'm sure that they had expectations just like I had for them to be much better than they are right now. And so to see them wallowing in fourth place in the AL Central in weak division and get murdered by a team like the Chicago White Sox, who are having not equally bad, but they were only, what, 2.5 games out of third place right behind the White Sox when the series started. And now you could tell there's a separation between those two teams. The White Sox are far superior than Detroit. I'm sure AJ's in there throwing some furniture, and players are out there like, this is not fun. Getting beat and getting dog walked by the White Sox. Out here having people jog to second base on things that should be definitely a triple. Like, we're getting out here. They're out here dunking and alley-ooping on us, and we're looking bad. So, yes, I'm sure that the Tigers are not happy with their performance. It's good to see some fight, though. I hope they continue being mediocre, because the White Sox have a lot more games versus them.
Yes, they do. 14 games under 500, the Tigers are 11 games back, and a run differential of minus 94 after this one. And I was wrong. We still doing wrong math. Even 20 minutes later, the White Sox run differential,
not surprising,
not minus 39, it's minus 35.
Oh, even better.
So even better. I mean, that's really damn impressive. Basically, boosting your run differential by 21 runs in one series. I mean, that's going to give you a lot more confidence that this team can actually turn it around. 30 and 31, I think that's the magic number where the Braves were last year. They had a run differential of like plus two at that point, so it's completely different teams. But, I mean, if this is what the White Sox lineup can be consistently, in June, in July, in August, in September, that run differential should shrink. And I don't know if they'll be able to be where they were last year, but for this team to possibly get to that 90 win marker, that's what you're going to have to do is start winning games, obviously, but start blowing out teams.
Don't think you have to do it this weekend against the Astros. You know what I mean? Don't think you have to do it next week against Toronto. Don't think you have to go to Anaheim and do it against the Angels. Do it against the Tigers. Do it against the Royals, and that run differential will change and change dramatically. You brought it up earlier, where the Braves were with their run differential, the White Sox are in a deeper hole because they've been playing worse. Right. They can dig out of the hole. There's time, and they showed you that they have the offensive capabilities to do it. They need to do it, but beat up on the team you're supposed to beat up on.
And we kind of talked about the lack of sync for this White Sox team, and it really felt in sync this series. 9-5 victory, 5-1 victory, 13-0 victory today. You got great pitching performances from Vince Velasquez, Davis Martin, but it also feels like the fun's coming with this team. I do want to go to some pictures that happened during the game. Jose Abreu was the DH today, and he was taking a little siesta in the dugout. Made a little makeshift hideout for himself in there, a tent. As you would call it, nice hanging out. And then when Jose Abreu got on base and drove in Andrew Vaughn stole it from him. Vaughn helped him set it up too. So nice passing of the guard there.
Teamwork.
Nice teamwork. You like seeing the first baseman get along. So a lot of fun. And you mentioned Yoan Moncada after he hit his home run. It just felt like every guy started berating him. Or not berating, but crowding around him in the clubhouse. Give him pats on the back. It really just felt like a big sigh of relief for the Sox today.
Hey, like Ozzie Guillen said, fun is winning and winning is fun.
100%. I love winning much more than I love losing. And Fred, it was sticking in on my wavelength. That was, when you say in sync, I'm always thinking about JC. I'm always thinking about Justin, Lance, Joey.
Always thinking of JC. Like, it's pretty shocking that looking at in sync, that Justin was the one. I always thought JC could have broken out, could have had, a little bit more potential. I always thought he was a bust.
Chazay was the greatest. He's the GOAT.
Chazay?
JC Chazay. That's his last name.
Oh, I thought it was Chavez.
No, Chazay.
As we can tell from Alex Fajedo, that I have difficulties with last names.
Yes, you do.
That's on me.
I'm the NSYNC guy. You're the other guy. He's the Black Keys guy. You're not going to go with NSYNC? No.
Boy bands, guys. Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Come on.
They're not banned.
This is disappointing.
They're a boy group.
Yeah, this is disappointing.
Anyways, definitely they're in sync today. Jesus Shuttle was saying the 83 Sox were 4.5 games back after 61 games. This year's team, as of right now, is also 4.5 games back. We've seen this comparison before to the winning ugly team, and I think they were 27-29 through a certain amount of games, and so is the 83 team, and obviously that's Tony's like big famous White Sox team. Do you guys buy into those connections when you're comparing teams that are basically 40 years away from one another?
No, I don't. I mean, I know White Sox fans, they usually do the crutch of 05 and go, the 05 team did this, that, and the other, and this team is doing that, and they look like them. And I get it, Jesus Shuttlesworth. I want to grab them to something that was positive from the past, and this mediocre season as of so far, you want to say, okay, this season has been bad, but that season started off bad too, so we have hope. There is precedent with this team, with this manager specifically, so I get it, but I'm not too much of a guy that looks back at the 83 team because I really wasn't watching at that time. It was like 5 years old. And I don't think, Tony thinks that way either. It's a total different game. Totally different players. Totally different situation. So I get it. Grabbing onto those things, it gives you hope. But I don't do it. More power to you if you do.
Well, and I made the point too, like the 82 team had 87 wins and didn't make the playoffs. This team just won the division. They won 93 games. Like, it's completely different expectations. Like, this team wasn't supposed to win ugly. They were supposed to dominate the AL Central, go to the playoffs for the third straight time, and take what they learned in the A's series in the playoffs in 2020 and the Astros series in 2021 and take it and move on to the second round and World Series or bust is what we've heard. So I don't think it's a fair comparison to compare them to a team that literally won ugly.
No, I think, as Herb kind of alluded to, the White Sox history has made it difficult for White Sox fans to make these comparisons, right? Because they've only been to the playoffs a handful of times ever.
Yep.
And you know, it makes much more sense to compare them to, you know, open up that comparison to every other baseball team that has made the playoffs in recent memory and how they've done it. How you know, we keep talking about the Braves last year, but think about the Nationals a few years before that. And there are plenty of other teams out there who probably, you know, had a similar situation, just didn't go on to win the World Series, right? At least they came back and won the division or came back and made the playoffs. Those comparisons matter much more because of it shows you how they can do it in today's game. But again, you know, when the White Sox only have two or three teams worth celebrating over the past 40 years or so, I can understand where that's going to be coming from.
In the golden era of White Sox baseball right now, this is the most times we've gone to the playoffs. I think it's 10 or 11 times in their history. And in my lifetime, they've gone like 6 times. It's amazing.
Yeah. I kind of want to get into the discussion of, like, you mentioned the Nationals, you mentioned the Braves. Like, you don't have to get out to a hot start to be a World Series contender. Before the year, you had White Sox Dodgers as your World Series pick. What's your confidence level, or maybe what's your feeling of this team still being able to make the World Series? Because obviously it's been an ugly first 61 games, but you still got 101 games left to play. It's still a lot of baseball to correct yourself. And if Moncada's hitting like this, if Vaughn's hitting like this, if Abreu's hitting like this, TA was hitting, you know, extraordinary before he got injured. I mean, it feels like there still could be the makings.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point is, like, it's not over yet, and I think that's what we've been saying for these first 2.5 months. That being said, when you make a preseason prediction, it's entirely based on what you think is going to happen. Once you're into the season, you have data to work off of. You know, you have things that can tell you whether something, whether your prediction is, you know, informed or not. They, for the most part, have looked awful in the first 2.5 months. That being said, you know, we're in the middle of 3 games here where they've looked very good, a little bit more where the offense has turned things around. You know the caliber of pitching they have. Certainly the confidence level has to be higher today than it was a week ago, but that's how quickly these things can change. If you were to ask me, would I pick the White Sox to make the World Series today? No, I wouldn't. They have mostly looked bad, and there's there's very little reason to believe that they could be better than some of the teams who have looked very, very good over the first 2.5 months. But if you're going to ask me, is it possible for them to do this? Yes, of course it is. And we'll see if that's what happens. Playing Houston is not necessarily important in terms of, are they better than Houston right now? But it is important in terms of, this team's finally got some momentum. And it would be nice for this team to keep the momentum going. Useful for this team to keep the momentum going. We talk about how easy their schedule is the rest of the year. They got some teams, though, that they got to play before this month is out. And even, you know, before they hit 4th of July, if you want to count the San Francisco Giants in there, or even a little bit after, because the team after that they play is the Minnesota Twins. So the long-term schedule toward the end of the season looks very favorable for the White Sox right now. In the short term, they got some tests, and they got to do their best to make sure that once we get to the end of this little run right here, we're not still saying, oh, is there plenty of time for them to turn it around? Oh, they're still right around 500. Oh, what do they need to fix? We're getting to the point in the season where the amount of time that is left needs to match up with how they start to play.
What do you think? I mean, you know, I kind of wanted them to see a good series versus the Tigers.
Yep.
I think we saw a great series versus the Tigers. I know I don't want to be jumping the gun too early, but I think Vinny makes a lot of great points, especially, you know, the fact that you still got 101 games to get more data. I mean, is your maybe your positivity on them possibly being World Series contender increasing the further and further we get away from April and May's bad start?
Yeah, it is, because I've seen what the starting pitchers have done this year. That, I believe, is the key to winning in the postseason. You put the White Sox top four when all of them are healthy against most teams in the American League, and if not the National League, I'm all but probably the Mets, I'll put them against anybody. They have top-of-the-line starters right there, especially if Michael Kopech is 100% healthy. You got Lucas Giolito, how he looked in Oakland, always is seared in my mind. He was a man possessed that day where he carried that team to a victory with his great pitching. I know Lance Lynn struggled versus Houston Astros last year, but I trust in Lance Lynn. And then Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease puts it all together and stops walking dudes. He can be a top-of-the-line pitcher. So, yes, I'm feeling much more encouraged, and you got the contributions today from everybody on the offensive side, and especially Yoan Moncada. That is that, and Yasmani Grandel are the X factors. If they become the players they were last year, just the players they were last year, like Yoan wasn't, that wasn't his best year. Yasmani, that probably was his best offensive year. They become those guys, this team is, the sky's the limit.
I will say, though, Moncada hasn't looked like this since 2019. I mean, yeah. A game like that, especially that home run swing, I mean, that was just so violent. It was so, he absolutely, there's the old, you know, when you're teaching hitting, like you'll squash the bug. I don't even think they teach that anymore. But if there was a bug underneath Moncada, it's like pulverized into that dirt. I mean, he spun and twisted on it so well, an inside pitch. I mean, it just looks so instinctive for him. If he has more swings like that, that's going to be really exciting for this team. If Grandel does return to 2021, I mean, that's going to give you so much confidence in this team. But you talked Astros, White Sox now. We saw the numbers for when fans saw the White Sox defeat the Yankees. Like, people really get excited when their team beats a winning record team, especially a team you just saw last year in the playoffs. What does this mean to the Sox specifically? Like, you talked about how, you know, they're staying hot. You got to stay hot no matter who. It's just the opponent. And I know Rick's talked about playing 500 teams and how they were bad last year against it. But what do you think it does mean to them, especially, you know, are they looking at this like, oh, hey, they knocked us out last year, or is it just another series?
It's probably somewhere in between, right? I mean, I think that obviously it's just another series, and it's not September. It's not October. You're not playing for anything tomorrow, if that makes sense. But these guys didn't like what happened in the playoffs last year. They are going to remember that. Certainly you had one player who is no longer with the team bring up the fact that, you know, the Astros' mere existence was bothering them last year, and, you know, happy to beat them for that reason. I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone in the clubhouse that shares that opinion, whether they're willing to vocalize it the way Ryan Tepera did or not. But
Rodon, I thought you were talking about Rodon. Rodon vocalized stuff similar too, right?
He did. It was more around the time that was all happening, mm-hmm. at least closer to it.
Then he went out and shoved versus them.
Yeah, Rodon was excellent against them in Houston last year, yeah. and in Chicago, both starts that he had against them in the regular season. But Tepera said that during the playoff series, and, you know, alluded to the whole scandal and everything, and so you can tell there's maybe a little extra oomph for a lot of pitchers whenever they go to face the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the White Sox, though, again, I think they know what they're doing, and they know what's happened to them this season. They know they got to keep the ball rolling. And so I think the benefits are far more short-term, or important in the short-term, than they are in the long-term. It's not about, you know, you got to beat them here in June so you can go to face them again in October and show that you could beat them then and you can again now. No, it's about they need wins. They need to catch Minnesota. They need, this is the next team in front of them, and that's what matters.
Well, and we saw last year, too, when they went to Houston, they looked so bad. Ugh. And then when Houston came here, Houston looked so bad. So, I mean, it is tough to get a true, you know, snapshot on what these teams will look like if they play another playoff series in 2022. But that's what the next, like, 20 minutes of the podcast is going to be about, talking about the Astros and White Sox series this weekend. You got Friday's game on Apple TV, you got Sunday's game on ESPN, so this is going to be a highly watched series from a national standpoint, so it's interesting to see the White Sox in a national spotlight. And if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. When you're watching the White Sox and Astros this weekend, you can put money down, and you can get two risk-free bets up to $2,000 if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit using the code CHGO. You'll receive a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt, and a free, you get access into our CHGO lounge. I feel like I screwed up this read pretty poorly. Not only are you going to get your risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from a CHGO locker. There you go. I thought we mentioned Discord in there, but we don't. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. It's time for the PointsBet pick of the week. I will pick the White Sox to win on Friday. They'll be going up against Framber Valdez, and they got Giolito on the bump. Giolito usually gets up for those games, so I think Giolito will be on his prime A stuff on Friday. So I'll roll with the White Sox money line. Those odds haven't been posted yet, but that's your pick of the week for your points bet pick of the week. And in case you missed it, online sign up is available in Illinois. You can download the points bet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet, live your bet life with points bet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Some final things from Detroit that I want to clean up, and then we'll get into the Houston thing. Yoan Moncada's exit velocities in today's game, 100 miles per hour on that home run, 92.3 on a flyout, 102 on a single, and then 83.6 mile per hour double down the left field line. But he really went out and made good contact on a 95 mile per hour fastball that was outside of the zone. So that was good to see. Also good to see this from Andrew Vaughn. He had a double in the second inning. DJ on the radio described Vaughn being frustrated with the first at bat that he had versus Fieto. And the second one, this is the matchup that he had. If we can go to the Vaughn double pitch graphs. So the first one, slider, called strike. Second one, foul ball, low and outside. And then he goes up, climbs the ladder. It's outside of the zone. It's up and away. And he just does a great job of absolutely smoking that ball out to right field. It hit off the wall. More and more at-bats like that is why I picked Vaughn to be my click to pick today. Just because once he sees a guy once, it really feels like he's seen a guy. And an at-bat like that just gives me so much faith that Andrew Vaughn is just going to be such a good major league player for such a long time. But since we mentioned our click to picks, Herb finally won one. I think this is the first time.
Twice in a row. I won the day before with Luis Robert.
It was not the best player in that game.
Okay. And then I won Yoan Moncada today, of course.
I think this is the first time we ever? Have ever picked the actual player of the game.
Stop it.
You're not just splitting hairs between guys who had one hit.
Right. Yeah. Like one hit, you know. I mean, so many games, too, have been like losses. So it's like there's really no, player.
No one picks.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No one picks in that one. So I just want to congratulate you, Herb.
Thank you. Finally. And I got something from Evan Woodbury, who was a reporter for M Live up there in Detroit. He said the Tigers clubhouse is open after a lengthy players-only meeting. Eric Haas said a broad range of issues were discussed. It was not a heated meeting. No coaches or management involved. We just needed to play better. Nobody likes going out there and getting your ass handed to you every night. We feel like we're a better team than that. So White Sox are forcing teams to have players-only meetings. And Ozzie Guillen famously said, horseshit teams have meetings. So this is a horseshit team, apparently.
Ray saying click to pick. I'm so sorry. It's pick to click. No. I think you've been hearing that wrong.
You did.
Oh, it is click to pick.
Yeah, Ray's right. You're wrong again.
Damn it. Come on, man. For some reason, I don't even know what our bit's called.
I just say C's before P in the alphabet. So that's how I remember it.
It's a good way to remember it.
Glad you said in the alphabet there. I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's going to listen to that in the podcast. Like, what the fuck is Herb talking about? Okay. All right, then, Herb.
All right, guys. Let's get away from that conversation. Let's go into, and also, they are a dog shit team. I mean, what? I mean, the guys that are underperforming, Austin Meadows, like, is underperforming. Scope's underperforming, and Torkelson's underperforming. Outside of that, like, none of those guys are like, oh, wow, that guy's not Javi hitting Baez above 600, you know? Oh, yeah, I guess Javi Baez, but he wasn't even in the game today. I just totally forgot that he was on the team. He had the one hit against Liam in game one, and that's about it.
He's playing like Yoan has been playing this whole year, like, great defensively, poorly offensively, but he hasn't had that breakout game as Yoan had today with his 5 or 6.
He won opening day for him.
Yeah. He did. Well, that's what I said. Since that hit off Hendricks, he hasn't really done much. But hey, we'll see Javi Baez for the next 5 years, which I'm happy about. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So the White Sox right now, 30-31. Twins are 36-28. Guardians are 30-27. White Sox are 4.5 back of the Twins right now in the AL Central. They got 15 games before they start seeing the AL Central a ton. On July 4th through the 6th, they'll see Minnesota. On July 7th through the 10th, they'll see Detroit 4 times. July 11th through the 13th, they'll see Cleveland 4 times. And then through the 14th through the 17th, right before the All-Star break, they'll see Minnesota. But before that, they got 15 games, 3 against Houston, 3 versus Toronto, 3 versus Baltimore, 3 versus LA, 3 versus the Giants. What are the expectation in those 15 games? Or maybe not expectation, but what's the hope? Stay around 500, hopefully, you know, win 8 of 7. So you are 500. You know, Baltimore's not that good. You got 4 games against them, but 3 games against Houston, Toronto, LA, and San Francisco seems difficult.
And Minnesota right after that.
Yeah, well, I'm at least sectioning those off because, you know, no matter what with the White Sox, you know, even if they have an 0-15 run versus all those teams, you know, going into July 4th, they can make it up with a good 17 games or something like that. So I'm looking at, like, when they could start really making a push up the AL Central. The first kind of barrier there, starting with Houston, these 3 games. Then you go to Toronto, 4 against Baltimore, 3 against LA, 3 against San Francisco. It seems like a tough spot, or at least an important spot, because, hey, if you're 2 games back of Minnesota, you could possibly take over the AL Central lead in that first series, and then you got a ton of games versus Detroit, Cleveland, and Minnesota.
What I'm expecting is them to compete each of those games, because the starting pitchers have been, for the most part, pretty good in keeping the team in the game. And now it seems, when the weather gets a little bit better, as Vinny has alluded to, as the White Sox have alluded to, the White Sox bats have heated up. And seeing that this offensive explosion they've had versus the Tigers, it gives them confidence to know that they can do this versus a better team like the Astros. Maybe not to this effect with 13 runs and 22 hits, but somewhere in the middle there where you could still score 6 runs a game no matter who's out there pitching for the opponents. I'm just looking for good competitive baseball games. I don't know the number I'm going to put on there, but I'm just going to say they're going to compete versus those teams much better than we have seen them compete versus better teams. I mean, they did go out to the New York Yankees, even though I thought they were only going to get one. They got 2 out of those 3 games. They swept Boston in Boston. Now going to Houston's a tough series, but they've been playing much better on the road than they've been playing at home. So I have a good feeling about them going this weekend. And then the Toronto Blue Jays, we saw that series up there in Toronto. I don't think they're that much better than the White Sox, even though they dominated the White Sox that series. When it comes back to Chicago, I see the White Sox competing with that team and looking a little better. And you can join us June 22nd for that tailgate we're having, 11:30. You got to come out here, KPW. Come on through.
1 week from today.
Yes.
Damn straight.
Yeah. 1 week from today. So June 22nd, we'll have the official CHGO White Sox tailgate at 11:30 a.m. in Lot B. $25 gets you a game ticket and access to our tailgate. But if you're a season ticket holder, you got tickets to the game, come out and hang out with us at Lot B anyways. It's not an exclusive tailgate, but at least if you go to Eventbrite or allchgo.com, we have an Eventbrite URL where you can buy tickets. That ticket just secures that you'll be with our group in the stadium. So make sure that you come hang out with us. It'd be great to see, especially our first tailgate, a ton of CHGO members coming out, hanging out with us, shooting the shit for 2 hours before the game, and then watching baseball. It should be a good time out at the G-Rate.
Yeah, and I was worried that, you know, we would be watching a dead team going into that game, because we've been seeing some of that this past week or the week before, and now we've seen this team ascend to a little bit better heights. No, Jack, you cannot pay there. But if you already have a ticket, Jack, you can come on see us at the CHGO tailgate. But I would advise you, just pay $25 to the allchgo.com and get yourself a ticket. Come out and get some meats. We're going to enjoy some time, some brews.
Some burgers.
You have Sean there. You'll have Vinny there. You'll have myself there. What better thing to do on a Wednesday afternoon?
Mario Tirabassi is going to be there. Damn, I think Alex Campbell is going to be there from The Fire. I think Dave and Peck said that they're going to be there from the CHGO Bulls podcast.
Steven might be there. Steven Nicholas.
Steven will be there.
See, Steven will be there. You could see his ESPN's face finally.
ESPN Steve will be there.
Eating all the food, not gaining any pounds.
Man. That's right.
Yeah, we should have a hot dog eating contest for Steve.
He's doing. See, I think he's doing the 9 for 9.
I wanted to do the 999 challenge.
What's that?
That's 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings. The issue is that's like $150 worth of.
Yeah, that is so expensive.
Yeah,
mercy.
But I think I could do it.
I'll go halves on you on the price too. At least, Steven. I'll go halves so you can do it. I don't want you to die though. That's the thing.
Herb will buy you 9 of your 18 beers or hot dogs.
I'm a professional.
The thing that I always wanted to do, I wanted to eat for the cycle at Miller Park.
What's the cycle? Is
you have every variety of racing sausage in one game.
The chorizo.
And this was created before the chorizo joined the club, so it's harder now than it used to be. But
so would it be 5 if you were actually doing the whole thing?
It's 5 now.
Okay,
it used to be 4. Yeah.
Hot dog, Polish?
Hot dog, Polish, brat, Italian, and chorizo.
Both sides?
Well, I mean, it's up to you, I guess. I
mean, you do sides. You probably eat like a gallon of like potato salad. Yeah,
you get yourself a nice little, you know, get yourself a nice little vat of Leinenkugels to go along with it. It's a nice day in Wisconsin.
You try the spotted cow that's only up there.
Ooh, so good.
Yeah.
Well, myself, I like Moon Man. Spotted cow's kind of good, but you Moon Man's much better.
Every single time I show a spotted cow, somebody's like, Moon Man's much better. Can I just enjoy my beer that's in Wisconsin and bring it back to Illinois, you jerks?
Give you the upcharge. They give you the crossing the border upcharge at the Mars Cheese Castle when you try to buy the case of Spotted Cow, by the way.
Yeah, it's those are
$40.
I'm going to say that's a rookie mistake. You got to go further into Wisconsin.
You got to go way north in order to avoid that that upcharge.
At Lake Geneva, it was $15 for a case.
See?
So
see?
Not
you
bad.
Just got to stay away from.
Did you grab some?
94.
No, I didn't grab some.
What's wrong with
you? I'm not a big beer drinker. So you know,
I
should have been nice.
Jerk.
Maybe I'll go up again and go get you guys some. I'm sorry. But hey, looking at, you know, the 15 games before they meet up with Minnesota on July 4th, and especially looking at the pitching matchups, you got Giolito on Friday for the White Sox, Giolito versus Framber Valdez. On Saturday, you have Cueto versus your AL Cy Young pick, Justin Verlander. On Sunday, on the 19th, it's supposed to be Michael Kopech. We'll wait to hear more on that. And then it's Christian Javier for the Houston Astros. And then get this for Toronto, Lynn, Cease, Giolito. Should be pretty damn fun, huh? That's a good pitching rotation. I feel really good.
Talk about a postseason preview, perhaps.
Right.
Those two teams and those three pitchers.
Well, and two, like, I mean, the five pitchers thrown out, Giolito, Cueto, Kopech, Lynn, Cease, feels like an actual Sox rotation. You're not seeing Davis Martin for a spot start. You're not
seeing. He was very good today, Sean.
He was very good today. You're not seeing Vince Velasquez.
Sean, he was pretty good today.
He was pretty good today. But again, it was
these guys. Golly,
the Tigers. It was the Tigers. Everybody looked good today outside of Leary. So,
the LP Tube says he's from Milwaukee, been bringing some spotted cow to the tailgate. My man's.
There you go.
That's
so
how you do it.
The LP Tube is going to hook you up and make me look like less of a jerk.
And when you're talking about the rotation, you just said Lucas Giolito is going to be pitching that game on June 22nd. Run out and get a ticket right now.
There you go.
AllCHGO.com. Hit the Eventbrite page and get the $25 so you can join us for the tailgate.
And it'd be Giolito versus Ross Stripling. Real.
Oh, let's eat.
You know,
let's eat.
What's it called? A primetime pitching matchup there between those two. But that's going to do it, I think, right? For the CHGO White Sox podcast.
I think we're going to get out. We should get out of here and go to the Mars Cheese Castle.
Well, you got to go to Jewel.
I do got to go to Jewel.
The Jewels.
The Jewels.
I got to go to the Jewel.
Let's root for a Mariners win today. Right now, it is 0-0 in the bottom of the fourth between the Twins and Mariners. The Bears.
Boom!
The
you
Bears
got it.
Are winning.
Let's go.
Sir, I do know that with that movie, Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. But yeah, right now, 0-0, Sonny Gray on the mound for the Twins. So if that's a loss for the Twins, Sox are now four games back. So that could be really, really important for the Sox. Guardians play later tonight versus the Rockies. But any predictions, Herb, before we kick you out of here? You're going to be at the Cubs game tomorrow. Any predictions Padres? What did I say, Pirates?
I think it's they're going to get one of these games out in Houston. I think of the Lucas Giolito Friday night start. Framber Valdez happens to be a left-handed hitter, and it doesn't really matter except for the lefty from Daniel Lynch from the Kansas City Royals.
Right.
Whoever you face, if the White Sox are facing you as a left-handed hitter, they're going to get some hits off of you. So I think the White Sox will win at least one game out there in Houston.
It was a Friday night, I believe, in 2019 when the White Sox went down to Houston. Lucas Giolito pitched. He threw a shutout, if memory serves. Very, very impressive outing for him. The only reason I know that is because it was on MLB Network. I was in I was in Florida, and I was having a very tall mango rum drink of some fashion, and it was on the TV, and I was like, there's Lucas.
Yeah.
Was it in a pineapple?
No.
Okay.
It was in a regular glass.
Okay.
Well, that was like the big
So not game. Optimal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, since you said you drank a drink out of a pineapple. I've been thinking and wanting to do that.
I think
I did that in Phoenix, but it wasn't the same.
You can do it at home. You go to the Jewels.
Yeah.
You get yourself a pineapple.
Yeah.
You have to have a pineapple core.
Yeah,
right.
It's a little tough.
You know, and you spin it and lift it right out of there, and you got yourself a receptacle for whatever fruity rum drink you can come up with.
Maybe that's what I'll try to bring on the tailgate. Just load you guys up on pineapple.
Just bring a bunch of hollowed out pineapples.
Hollowed up pineapples and rum, and Vinny and Herb will be happy. Yeah, and no, that's a great, you know, bringing up that Giolito start in 2019. I'm pretty sure that was against Garrett Cole, too. So it was like, here comes Lucas Giolito. Yeah,
Was that the game where they were the last team to beat Cole?
Yes, that was. And they crushed Garrett Cole. I think they got like 7 earned runs against him. And then after that, Garrett Cole was nails.
Right.
He was like awesome.
Well, and so was Lucas Giolito. Like, yeah. I mean, that was like there was a Cleveland start in like May where he like had a really good outing. But that was, you know, the moment where worst pitcher in baseball, Lucas Giolito, went into Houston and shut their asses out and struck out 12. And it's like, who is this guy? That was real fun to see. Hopefully Giolito can have a moment like that on Friday. I think the White Sox can take two. I think that they could take the Kopech start on Sunday if he actually starts. And I think they could take the Giolito start on Friday. But we don't have to get too much into it because tomorrow we got a podcast. So it'll be Vinny and I on the podcast tomorrow. Herb's going to be going and joining the Cubs and Padres game. And we will be answering your questions. So if you are a CHGO member, head to the CHGO Lounge, our members only Discord, and send in your questions. We already got two so far, but if you got any questions about the Sox, whether it be roster related, injury related, schedule related, results related, whatever, you know, you want to ask Vinny a question about, you know, something he's heard this year in the 2022 locker room, send in a question. If you are a member at allchgo.com, and if you're not a member, go to allchgo.com. Sign up to become a member. You get access into our Discord, and you can ask us a question for tomorrow's Thursday mailbag. But that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox postgame show. White Sox win 13-0, improved to 30-31 on the year. Their next game will be on Friday in Houston. For Vinny Duber, you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's the CHGO White Sox beat writer. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Steven Nicholas for his great job producing us today. And thank you to everybody for hanging out with us on the YouTube live chat. Blank Name, Jack Scambader, Abraham, LP, Jake, all you guys, Wayne, everybody hanging out with us. You make this fun each and every post game. Doing an hour talking to you. It's an absolute blast. And I hope you're enjoying the podcast as well. Thank you to the White Sox for winning 13-0. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Fleetwood Mac for their 1979 album Tusk. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Go White Sox.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.